know over the number of months that you've been considering men and women of faith that you find in Hebrews chapter 11. And my task tonight is to look at Abraham. It's a fairly daunting task whenever I first started thinking about it, because there's so much about Abraham in the Bible, but we're going to try and do that this evening. So you turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I think we'll commence there just as our first reading, and we will be looking at other readings, mainly in Genesis after that. But Hebrews chapter 11, I'll give you a moment or two to find it, those that have got Bibles with them. If you haven't got a Bible, you just listen carefully as well. Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 8. And says there, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And just skip on down, chapter 11, then maybe just to verse 17. And again, we pick up Abraham there again. It says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him, even in a figure. And we'll not think the only reading we'll do from Hebrews 11 this evening. Some of the characters that you find in Hebrews chapter 11 only appear very, very briefly. Maybe only a couple of verses, and maybe only one or two events recorded regarding them. And just at the very start, can I encourage young people, you know, some, and if we look at Abraham, there's so much about Abraham, but some of the other characters only appear in Scripture very briefly, and yet God has recorded in His Word their acts of faith, if you like. And you know, whatever we do, if God is asking you to do something in life, however small that might seem, if you obey Him by faith and do what He's actually asking you to do, God takes note of that, and He will take an account of that, and He will reward you for obedience. So as you look at Abraham, don't be daunted by Abraham. Just you remember, it brings pleasure to God. The Bible tells without faith, it is impossible to please God. And whenever we do something by faith and we obey God, it brings pleasure to the heart of God, and He will reward you for it. There's 12 chapters of the book of Genesis are given over to telling the story of Abraham. And he's even mentioned 70 times in the New Testament. And I know a couple of weeks ago, you as a group, you've had a look at Abraham, and I'm glad you've done that, because there's so much of Abraham to cover. So you've looked at Abraham already, you looked at his life story, so you're familiar with it, and maybe even you'll be familiar with it, maybe from what you've learned in Sunday school or other places. So we're just going to dip in to Abraham's life, maybe three different events in Abraham's life. We're going to dip in and have a look at those, but hopefully and we'll not be able to read them in detail, but hopefully from what you know about Abraham, you'll be able to follow okay. Abraham's described in many different ways, even in the New Testament. The Jews describe him as their father because they're descended from him. So through Isaac, the Jews are descended from Abraham through Isaac. And so he's the father, if you like, of the nation of Israel. So the Jews would call him their father. But not only is he described as the father of the nation of Israel, because, if you like, there were his physical descendants, but he's also described in Romans as the father of us all. Really what that means, because he was such a great man of faith, and because we believe in God, anybody that has trusted God and believing in God, if you like, they're a spiritual descendant. So for us all, as believers, if you're a believer tonight, well, Abraham is described as the father of us all. So he describes the father of the nation of Israel, the father of us all, but probably the best title that we find for Abraham in the New Testament is this. In the book of James, he's described as the friend of God. What a lovely title to be able to give to somebody. He's described as the friend of God. You see, Abraham was a saved man, and he's alive today. Abraham's not just somebody that lived all those years ago and has died and is forgotten about. Abraham, yes, he lived a long time ago, but he's a saved man, and he's in heaven tonight. If you read one verse, I'll read to you from Matthew chapter 11, and the Lord Jesus said this, I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, where does it say, in the kingdom of heaven. So he was a saved man, and he's in heaven tonight. But you might ask me the question, well, how did Abraham get, somebody asked me this question recently, how does somebody in the Old Testament get saved? How did Abraham get saved? Well, the simple question we could ask ourselves, well, how do we get saved? If you're saved tonight, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, it says, by grace are you saved through faith. We get saved by faith, by trusting God. That's how we're saved. And it's the same way that Abraham was saved all those years ago. It was through faith in God. Most of the readings we're going to look at tonight are found in Genesis. We turn back to the book of Genesis, obviously the first book in your Bible. Turn back, first of all, to Genesis chapter 15. And I say the rest of the readings we'll be doing, or that I'll be asking you to turn to this evening, are found in the book of Genesis. Most probably the absolutely wonderful book in the Bible, the book of Genesis. You find it hard to read your Bible. The most wonderful, easiest, probably the easiest book I would say to read in the Bible is the book of Genesis. So many wonderful characters for us to read about. So you have a good read through the book of Genesis. While you're looking that up, I want to read one verse in James chapter 3 and verse 23. And it says this. It says, Abraham believed God and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Now go to Genesis chapter 15, where we've just I've asked you to turn to, and have a look at verse 6 with me, please. Talking about Abraham here, and it says, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And really what it says here, you know, God forgave Abraham's sin and counted him righteous, and if you like, declared him to be right in God's sight because he believed what God said. Because he believed what God said. Abraham didn't have all the knowledge about the Lord Jesus dying on the cross that we have, but he put his faith totally and completely in God, and he was saved. If you put it this way, Abraham believed what God said about something that would happen in the future. We believe in God about what God has said about something that has happened in the past. We need to believe in the Lord Jesus died on the cross, and we need to trust him as our Savior. Can I ask you, I mean, I know some of you is here tonight, but I can ask you all tonight, before we go any further, are you saved? Like Abraham, was there a point in your life when you said you acknowledged that you're a sinner, when you acknowledged you've done wrong things against God, and you realized that the Lord Jesus died on the cross, and you put your trust in him, and you had your sins forgiven, and like Abraham, one day you're sure that you will be in heaven as well? Has that happened? I trust it has, and if it hasn't, it's something that you need to sort out sooner rather than later. You need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So three things I want to look at as we go back to the book of Genesis. Turn to Genesis chapter 12, and back to really where we pick up Abraham first in the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. The first thing I want to look at, is a faith to follow. A faith to follow. Do you have a faith to follow God this evening? Genesis chapter 12, we'll read the first five verses. And say that you'll know some of the story already anyway. Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. I'm sure you'll know, as you've read and maybe looked at the life of Abraham, originally he was called Abraham, and then his name was changed to Abraham. So just to keep it simple tonight, we'll simply refer to him as Abraham. Abraham lived in the Ur of Chaldees. Now, the Ur of Chaldees, if we do a wee bit of research about it, it tells us it's a place that they worshipped false gods. It was a place that they worshipped false gods. And so, in verse 1, God appears unto Abraham, and he calls him to leave the country and his kindred, to leave this place of idolatry, if you like, and he called him to leave it all behind. But, you know, God didn't just call him to leave behind these things that were wrong. He said unto Abraham, I have something for you to do. He said, I want you to go into a land that I'll show you. And so Abraham had the faith to follow, and he obeyed God. You might say, well, that's no big deal. God simply called him and he left and off he went. He left the country that he was in. But you know, there was really big faith in Abraham's part. Abraham didn't know an awful lot about God. He didn't have the Bible. He hadn't grown up in a Sunday school and learned all the things that you have learned about God. He hadn't learned all those things. He didn't have all the stories in the Bible that you have learned about. But God simply appeared to him and he called Abraham to leave his family, to leave the country that he grew up in, and say, believe in the majority of his family. But you know, the amazing thing for me is this. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't tell Abraham exactly where he was going to go. I think my first question would have been, well, yes, God, I'd really like to go. You've called me to leave here. I'm happy to do that. But where are you taking me before I leave? But he didn't have that knowledge. And all we know is that Abraham simply obeyed God and off he went. And he would trust God that God would be faithful and that God would look after him. But say Abraham was called to leave things that were wrong and to go somewhere where God wanted him to go. If you like, God had something for him to do, so he asked him to leave the things that were wrong, and he says, Abraham, I've got something for you to do. And that's exactly the same thing that God says to us today. He says, I want you to leave things that are wrong, all these empty things in your life. If you like, worshipping idols were things that come before God. And he says, look, I want you to leave things behind, get rid of things, if you like, that come before me. And I want you to put me first. But he says, not only that, but he says, I've got special things for you to do. I've got a purpose for your life. I've got things that I want you to do. And can I say, young people tonight, God has got a special purpose for your life. He had a wonderful purpose for Abraham's life, but God has got a purpose for every single one of you. He's got a unique job that he wants you to do. It might be a long time before you find out exactly what the great plan he has for your life, but he has a special plan for every single one of you, and he wants every single one of you to serve him in some way in the future. Some of that might be out in the mission field, but some of it might just simply be back here helping an illustrator in the future. It might be serving here, there. It might just be serving in your own home, serving in school, whatever it might be, but God has got a special job for you to do. Whenever the Apostle Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, he says this, he's talking about them, he says, you turn to God from idols to serve the living and the true God. He says, you turned away from things that were empty, and now you're serving me. And so that's exactly the same plan that he has for you this evening, young people. He wants you to turn to him, to seek out his plan for your life, and to follow him by faith, and he's got wonderful things for you to do. But ask himself, well, where did Abraham get the faith? How did he have the faith to follow God? How do we get the faith to follow God? How do we get the strength and the courage to believe God and to trust him? Well, really, we get it from the promises that we find in his word. Go back to chapter 12 and look, we see four promises that he actually gets, that Abraham has given here. There's four I wills, if you like. Those are promises from God. We'll read it again. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land. And he says that I will show thee. So there's one promise. He says, look, there's a land that I'm going to show you. Then verse 2, he says, and I will make of thee a great nation. There's a second promise. And he says, I will bless thee and make thy name great. And then in verse 3 he says, and I will bless them that bless thee. So we give him four promises, and so he trusted God in the promises that he gives us. And that's exactly the same thing that God wants us to do. He wants us to actually, if you like, trust in his promises. The Bible tells that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We get the courage, we get the strength, we get the belief to trust in God from reading his word. And that's why it's so important that you actually read God's word as often as you can. Try and get into the habit of reading God's word every day. If you need to use wee daily readings or get into some sort of plan of reading God's word, but it's so important you get into the habit of reading God's word. We get instruction for what we should and what we shouldn't do, but we get wonderful promises. As you read through God's word, and maybe just something you read and it jumps out at you, and it's a little promise that God wants to give to you. And that's how we really learn to trust God, by believing the promises that we find in his word. So the first thing that we learn from chapter 12 here is that we need to have a faith to follow. God wants us to leave things that are wrong, get rid of those empty things in our life, and he's got a wonderful plan for us. And he wants us to follow him, and he wants us to serve him. But we need to trust in him. We need to have the faith to believe in him, that he indeed will help us to do those things. And secondly, then, I would like us to see what I've simply said. With God, we see that failure is not final. Because Abraham, even though he's a great man of faith, at times his faith faltered, and he let the Lord down. And maybe if we were writing the Bible, and we want to tell the story of somebody great, and we'd maybe had the opportunity to study Abraham's life, well, we might have said, well, look, what we'll do is we'll write down the good things about him, but we'll not write down the times he let God down. But the problem with that is whenever we come along to read about him, we say, well, Abraham, he never let God down. I can't really identify with him. But at times, Abraham let God down, and God records him for us so that we can see that even the great men and women of God, at times they let God down. And so whenever we let him down, it says, well, even Abraham let him down. And God wasn't finished with Abraham. And even whenever we let God down, he certainly isn't finished with us either. You know, there's only one person that ever lived, that ever read about in the Bible, or one person that ever lived, that lived a perfect life and never let God down. And that was obviously the Lord Jesus Christ himself. All others fail at times. You go through and read many, David, for example, and other people like that, at times they let God down. But what we learn about from is that with God, failure is not fine. That doesn't mean we can just live loose and do whatever we want and say, well, sure, God doesn't really mind if I let him down. We must really strive to please God, but whenever we do let him down, God just doesn't throw us to one side and say, well, I'll get somebody else. God gives us second and third and very often fourth chances as well. If we look on down chapter 12 where we've just started, we find that everything's going really well for Abraham. He'd obeyed God's call to leave the Ur of Chaldees. He's reached the land God had promised him. And then look at verse 8, where we read about Abraham in verse 8. It says, and he removed from thence onto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he builded an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. If you like, what Abraham was doing here was that he was worshipping God. Here he was worshipping God. If you want to bring that forward to us and what we are doing today, this is, if you like, us having our daily quiet time. So not only had he started following God, but he was fellowshipping with God. He was doing exactly this, like us having our quiet time, or maybe like us going to church, or even us coming to the studio on a Saturday evening. This was good. This would really have been pleasing to God. He built an altar, and he was calling on the name of the Lord. This would really have been pleasing to God. So he was doing the right things. He was living exactly the way God wanted him to live. But then we see the first challenge that Abraham really faces in his life. Look at verse 10 again of chapter 12. And it says, and there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. God had called him to this land. He'd followed God's command. God had brought him to this land. I'm sure he's saying to himself, well, if God has brought me to this land, God's going to look after me. But suddenly he's only a short time in the land, and suddenly there's a famine. And it's not just any sort of famine. It just wasn't that there was no rain and maybe things were a bit tough. The Bible tells us it was grievous. So it's very, very likely that the food was running out, that the water was running out, maybe the grass for the animals was all drying up. And so we would ask ourselves, what was Abraham going to do? You know, you say, God has called me here, so God will provide for me. Hopefully that's what we would do if we find ourselves in that situation. But we have all the teaching of the Bible about the wonderful miracles that God has done and how God can look after us. Abraham didn't have any of that, and so he decides to do something else. He decides, if you like, to take things into his own hands, and he goes down to the land of Egypt. Let's look at verse 10 again. Go back to Luke at verse 10 again with me, if you would. And it says, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down into Egypt. Whenever we read about Egypt in the Bible, it very often talks about the world, if you like, or worldly living. And they always say, and very often it says that he went down into Egypt. And really what that tells us, young people, is this, that whenever we go into the world, it's a downward step. If you like, Egypt's a picture of the world, and whenever we live in a worldly way, that's a downward step for us. It's a step in the wrong direction. And so he was taking a bad step. This wasn't a good step for Abraham. He should have trusted God. He should have stayed in the land, but instead he goes down into Egypt. Can I just warn you now, boys and girls, can I warn you against worldly living? If you like, going to the wrong places or keeping the wrong company. Because the problem with that, and we'll see it with Abraham now, is if we go to the wrong places and we keep the wrong company, it can lead us into making the wrong decisions. If we go to the wrong places, keep the wrong company, it can lead us into making the wrong decisions. And maybe some of you are maybe still young, and your parents have a measure of control over your decisions, and they can control where you go, and they can stop you. And you might think they're just out to spoil your fun, but they're really trying to protect you and ensure that you're in the right place at the right time. But you're going to get older, and you're going to get more control over your decisions. But whenever that happens, you make sure you go to the right places, and you keep the right company, and it'll be a great help for you in the decisions that you make and your walk with God. So what happened to Abraham down in Egypt? Well, Sarah was his wife was a beautiful lady, and Abraham became concerned that the Egyptians would kill him because he was her husband, and so that they could take her as a wife. Look at verse 11. He comes up with a plan. Chapter 12 and verse 11, Abraham comes up with a plan. He comes up with a plan, and he says, look, here's what I'm going to do. He says, they're going to kill me, maybe, or do me harm because she's my wife and she's so beautiful, so I'm going to tell them simply that she's my sister. If you look at chapter 12 and verse 11, you see his plan. And it came to pass when he was come near into Egypt that he said unto Sarai his wife, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, and they shall say, this is thy, his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. So he comes up this plan, and he says, he's going to just say, you say you're my sister, and so they'll not do me any harm, and we'll all be okay. As I already said, it's so very easy whenever we're in the wrong place, with the wrong people, to make the wrong decisions. It's also very easy to tell a lie to get us out of an awkward situation. Here is Abraham, and he was in an awkward situation, so he simply told a lie to get him out of that. And we all do that at times. It's so easy. We need to be very careful to say, well, rather than take my stand for God, rather than say this, rather than say that's wrong, or rather than say something else, I'll just tell a wee lie. Maybe it's even to our parents to get us out of an awkward situation, and we'll just simply tell a lie. But, you know, the question is this. Why did Abraham mislead the Egyptians? Well, the basic answer was he was afraid of others. The Bible says this. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever put his trust in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man bringeth a snare. A snare, if you like, is a trap. And whenever we are afraid of men and what men think of us, and fear of not fitting into the crowd, if you like, or fear of what people might think of us, or fear of what people might say about us, well, that can lead us into a snare. It can lead us, if you like, into making the wrong decisions. Maybe the fear of not fitting into the crowd can lead us into making the wrong decisions. But we need to trust in God and do the right thing. So when Abraham and Sarah arrived in Egypt, Pharaoh's servants told Pharaoh about this beautiful lady, and she was taken into his house, and Abraham was treated well, and he was rewarded. So if you like, his plan worked. Rather than him being treated badly, his plan worked, but God wasn't pleased at all. And God sent plagues into the land because Pharaoh had done this, and because Abraham has done this, he sent plagues. Look at verse 14 again of Genesis chapter 12. And it came to pass that when Abraham was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abraham well for her sake, and he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. But look then what happened. God wasn't pleased. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. God wasn't pleased, and so he sent these plagues into the land. And what actually happens after this, and for sake of time we'll not read maybe more of the passage, but really this plague was sent, and whenever Pharaoh realizes what's happened, he gets his servants and Abraham and all his belongings, they get chased back up to the land of Canaan again, and so he returned to where God wanted him to be rather than down in Egypt. But the important thing I want you to see, boys and girls, you don't remember any of the detail of the story, is this. With God, failure isn't final. God still had a wonderful plan for Abraham. Even though he'd let him down, failure wasn't final. And with us, failure isn't final either. What are we to do when we let the Lord down? Probably the very first verse that anybody taught me after I got saved was 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I didn't have all the teaching. I was just saved. I was 17 whenever I got saved. And somebody realized, look, you're going to let people down, but, you know, here's how you deal with it whenever you let the Lord down. It's 1 John 1, verse 9. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, boys and girls, and young people, sorry, whenever you get saved, the eternal consequences of our sins is blotted out. That's done. That's final. So whenever you get saved, if you like, the punishment of God for your sins, that's blotted out. That's gone. That's never cast up at you again. But we need the daily cleansing from the contamination of sin, if you like. We need that daily cleansing from the contamination of sin in our lives. And so we need to come day by day and come to God and say, look, Lord, I've let you down today. And yes, if you want to list the things, or if you want to make it more general, but just come to the Lord every day and acknowledge the times you've let him down and just say, look, Lord, I want you to cleanse me afresh. And that's an important habit to get into. And not just to say it and then go back and do it the next day, but really to do it in a way that we should strive not to do it the next day. It's so important whenever we let the Lord down that we get into the habit of daily coming and confessing to him our failures and our acknowledging the way we've let him down. And I think this is what Abraham did as well, because you could go to chapter 13, just a few verses on down, and verse 3. Now we have Abraham back in the land again. In verse 3 of chapter 13 it says, and he went, this is talking about Abraham, and he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, onto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Ai, onto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abraham called on the name of the Lord. He came and he called on the name of the Lord. Doesn't tell us a lot of detail about what he said to God, but and words are not always important, but I believe there he came and he acknowledged to God his failure. And he got that, if you like, that fresh forgiveness from God. And God said to him, look, Abraham, I'm not finished with you. I've still got a wonderful plan for your life. So the first thing we tried to learn was that simply we should have a faith to follow God. He wants us to leave those things behind that are empty in our lives. And he's got a wonderful purpose for us. And we need to have that faith to follow him and to trust him. Then secondly, we tried to look and say, with God, failure isn't final. It wasn't with Abraham. Even though he let the Lord down, he still had a wonderful plan for him. And the times we let God down, but he still has a wonderful plan for your life and for my life. But really, now I want to skip over a lot of Abraham's life and really come to Genesis chapter 22. So you turn with me to Genesis chapter 20. This is probably the most well-known story we have about Abraham. And one of the most wonderful things we read about in the whole of the Old Testament probably as well. And this here, I've just simply called this a future that seemed frustrated. A future that seemed frustrated. And I want to take the time just to read a few verses. I realize time's flying, but I want to take the time to read a few verses. Chapter 22, and you've maybe looked at this whenever you were studying, I'm sure you did. Chapter 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass that after these things that God did tempt or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship God, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place where God had told them of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. And we'll finish there at verse 10. As I already said, I'm sure you know this story very well, and you've learned it. And whenever you're a lot younger, and I'm sure you've looked at it last week as well. But I really want you to think about this, and picture this in your mind this evening, young people. If you imagine the thing that you want more than anything else in the world, maybe the thing that you want to achieve more than anything else in the world, and imagine that you wait 25 years to get it. And I realize none of you are 25 years old, apart from one or two down the back, but I realize you're not 25 years old. But you imagine what you think 25 years to be, and you wait 25 years to gain that thing, and then suddenly you think that you're actually going to lose it. And that's really a situation that Abraham was in. You know, we don't know how long Abraham and Sarah had been married before God called them out of the Ur of Chaldees, but I'm sure they'd been married for some time and they'd wanted a child. But at the age of 75 years of age, God not only promised him a son, but that through the son he would become a great nation. In the years that follow Abraham's faith, it goes up and down, but he believes God will fulfill this promise. So after 25 years, so think about it, after 25 years, when Abraham is 100 years old, Isaac is born. Can you imagine how Abraham must have felt? 100 years of age, and there's this little child that he's waited for has been born. He must have been so excited. And as the little child grew up in the house, as he grew from a little toddler, and he must have looked at him and thought about God's promises. As he got a little bit older, what joy he must have brought to Abraham's life. This was his only son. This is his only son, the son of promise, if you like. And there he saw him growing up. And maybe as he got a little older, I'm sure the years went by quickly, and suddenly he was a teenager, maybe around your age. And as he looked at him, and he maybe was out helping Abraham look after the animals and all the responsibility Abraham would have. And as he'd look upon him, he'd say, this is the son of my promise. God has promised me. I've waited so long for this son, I've waited 25 years, more than 25 years for this son, and now he's grown up, he's maybe 15 years of age, maybe in his late teens, and he looks at him, he says, and he's just grown up so well, and he's so proud of his son, Isaac, and he's so much joy, and it says it's his beloved son, he loves him so much, and he's thinking about this son growing up, and he thinks of all the wonderful plans, he says, you know, God has said, I'm going to have so many descendants, and I'm going to be a blessing to other people, and it's all going to be through Isaac. Isn't that wonderful? And then it came to pass, where we just came to chapter 22. The Bible simply says, and it came to pass. And so, and God spoke to him. Look at verse 22, or verse 1, it says, and it came to pass after these things. And so God came, and God speaks to Abraham. And it says, and he said unto him, Abraham. And he says, behold, here I am. Here I am, God. And he maybe was getting really, really excited. He was maybe getting really, really excited because he said, God is coming. He's got something really special to say to me. God is going to give me a wonderful promise. He's got something really, really special to say to me. And I wonder what it is God's going to say to me. But just listen to what God says to him. And he says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell you of. He says, Abraham, I want you to take this son, this one you've waited so long for, the one that your joy is in and he's so special to you, the one that I've promised that I'm going to bless you through it. And he says, I want you to go and I want you to make him an offering. I want you to kill him. What a bombshell that must have been in Abraham's life. I know it would have been me. I'd have said, what? You know, I'm sure he thought, look, this was his son, his only son, the one that he loves so much. And if it would have been me, I'd have probably said, look, Lord, there must be some mistake here, God. You've got this all wrong. Remember, this is Isaac. This is the one you've promised you're going to bless me with. You can't be right. But we don't read anything about Abraham questioning God at all. At the least thing I'd have done, I said, hang on, give me some time to think about this. Give me some time to get my head around this. Give me a few weeks really to think about this and to maybe talk to a few people and get a few other opinions and to have a think about this. But we don't read about that at all. We don't read about any delay. We simply read about his obedience. Because in verse 3 it says this, and Abraham rose up early in the morning. It was immediate obedience. He didn't have a lie in. I don't know whether there's something you're really dreading. You know, maybe you have a day and there's something you're really dreading. We don't jump up early in the morning to get at it. I would sort of say, oh, well, I'm going to have to face that. I'll maybe lie on a bit. You try to put it off as long as possible. But not Abraham. Abraham, it says, that he got up early and off he got to do what God wanted him to do. What faith Abraham must have had. Now, we know why all this happened. Because it tells us, it says, and it came to pass that after these things, that God did tempt or God did test Abraham. So this was a test for Abraham. But Abraham didn't know anything about that. He just knew that God was asking him to take a son and to make him an offering. And he was going to trust God, even though it must have been breaking his heart. Now, can I just say, boys, young people, don't think that was ever God's intention for Abraham to kill his son. It never was. God was never going to let Isaac. That wasn't God's intention. God's intention is never for us to take a life of another one. And it wasn't God's intention for Abraham to do this. But he was testing Abraham. Abraham didn't know that. He didn't know that God. He simply knew that God wanted him to do it. And he was going to obey God whatever God had asked him to do. So Abraham, Isaac, I know you know the story well. And two of his servants, off they went on a 3-day journey to Moriah. It's probably about 50 miles. And think about the questions. Every day, he got up the first day, and as he travelled along, maybe travelled about 15, 20 miles, whatever it was, every step he took, he knew he was getting closer to where God was asking him to take the life of his son. I know about me, I'd have had all these questions going about, God, you must have got this wrong. We read no record of that at all. 3 days, day after each day, as he went along, he was going to obey God and do what God had actually asked him to do. You know, I don't think there's only one greater act of obedience, I believe, that we read about in the Bible than this act of Abraham. And that was whenever the Lord Jesus obeyed his Father and went to the cross and paid the price for your sin and my sin. That's the only greater act of obedience, I believe, that we read about in the Bible than this act that Abraham did all those years ago. And for anybody other than the Lord Jesus, this must have been the greatest act of faith that we read about anywhere in the Bible. And he really trusted God and he really believed God. And we don't really understand how he really trusted God so much, but he really believed that whenever he went up to that mountain and whatever happened, he believed that Isaac was going to come alive again. Look at verse 5, do you see? And it says, chapter 22 and verse 5 still, and it says, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. He didn't know how, I suppose, how it was going to happen. But we have to go to Hebrews chapter 11, where we read at the start, to see what Abraham was really thinking. And it says there, "And by faith Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered by his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." And then it said this, "accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead." He must have believed, he said, he really must simply have believed, said, "Look, if I go up and I do this act and I kill Isaac, I know this great God can even raise him again from the dead." You may say, "Well, I know that because we read about the raising of Lazarus and we have read about the Lord Jesus rising again." But Abraham hadn't heard any of that. He didn't know anything about that at all. But his faith in God was so strong that he said, "Even if I'm required to kill Isaac, I believe that God is so faithful, God is so powerful, he's such a mighty God, that if necessary, he can even raise Isaac from the dead again, and we'll come back again." What's faith he had? And maybe we'd say, well, whenever he went on, if we didn't know the story, we'd say, well, whenever he goes on a bit further, somewhere along the line, Abraham will take cold feet. He'll not be able to do it. Whenever it comes down to the crunch, he'll not be able to do it. But we know the story well, how that whenever he got Isaac and he tied him on the altar, and it says that he lifted the knife to slay him. And I'm sure Abraham, as he did this, his heart must have been thumping. You know, ever know you have something to do and you're maybe really nervous about it, and you nearly think your heart's going to jump out of your chest. His heart must have been pumping as he thought about it. This was his son, his beloved son. He had the knife in his hand, and I'm sure his heart must have been breaking, and I'm sure his eyes must have been closed, and he just didn't know how he was going to do it, but he was going to obey God, whatever. And then we come to verse 11, and it says there, "And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do him any thing unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me." Abraham passed God's test, if you like, with flying colours. He passed it with flying colours because he simply trusted in God. And we know how God, there was a lamb caught in the thicket, and how he was able to offer the lamb. God provided a lamb, and Abraham didn't have to kill his son. But he obeyed God, and he trusted in God. What faith he did have in God. So what can we learn from God? We're nearly finished now. What can we learn from Abraham through this story? You know, he was human just like you and I. He failed God. We've already looked at how he failed God, just the way that you and I can. And yet he seemed to learn to be able to trust God completely. Even when he didn't understand, things happen in life, boys and girls, young people, that we don't understand. Even when things happened he didn't understand, even whenever he had to do something which seemed impossible, by faith he simply trusted God. He obeyed God and he trusted God. Can I ask you, what about you and I this evening? Is there something that you're facing in life you simply don't understand? You've gone through something in life that you really find it hard to understand, and you sort of say, well, if God really loved me, why is he letting this happen? Is there something happening in your life that you really don't understand? Would you trust God just like Abraham did? Would you trust God and say, look, Lord, I don't understand. I don't have all the answers. I might never understand why this is happening. But will you allow him to help you? God doesn't take away the problems all the time. Sometimes he does, but he wants to help us. Will you trust God and say, look, Lord, I don't understand all this. But look, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to allow you to help me through this difficult situation. Maybe there's something you need to do that seems impossible. Maybe you feel that God is asking you to do something and for you it is so difficult. Maybe it's simply as simple as going into school and telling others you're a Christian. But that's not easy. Maybe you've never done it before. Maybe there's some friends you have at school and you've never, yes, they know you behave properly and you maybe even know you go to church, but maybe you've never actually told them that you're a Christian and it's really, really difficult and you're afraid of the consequences. But you maybe just need to simply trust God and ask him to give you that help to do that thing that seems so difficult for you. Maybe it's some form of service that God wants you to do. And you say, well, I could never do that. Maybe it's a summer outreach team. Maybe somebody's been along somewhere and they've been telling you about a wee outreach team. And you say, well, I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that. I just don't think I would be able to do it. But you not really trust God and allow him to help you to do that thing which maybe seems impossible to you. Maybe you've simply been asked to take part. Maybe it's at your youth fellowship. Maybe it's at SU, maybe it's even here in the studio. Maybe you've simply been asked to do something and you're really afraid to do it. You say, well, I couldn't do that. Well, you don't just trust God and say, well, Lord, if you've asked me to do it, if somebody's asked me to do it, and you've asked me to do this, language going to trust you and actually ask you and seek your help to do that? You know, will you step out by faith and do what God is asking you to do? But one other thing, just as I was saying this, we're nearly finished. When we read this story, you know, it appears that no one other than Abraham knew what God was asking him to do. It doesn't tell us that Sarah knew anything. I would doubt if Sarah knew anything about it. It doesn't tell us about Isaac knowing anything. Obviously, it all opened up and Isaac knew what was happening at the end. But even the servants didn't know anything about it. It seems really that at the start, Abraham was the only person that knew anything about this difficult situation that he was in. And maybe you're facing a problem tonight that nobody else knows anything about. Maybe you're going through a difficult situation and nobody else knows anything about it. You're the only person. You feel very alone in that situation. Well, you know, we can simply bring that to God in prayer and have the faith that he can bring you through it. But can I say something else? It's really important that you share those problems with other people. Don't try to do it on your own. There's other, maybe you have someone you can trust that you can share it with, maybe somebody your own age, maybe somebody a bit older. But yes, God wants to help you through that lonely situation, but he also wants you to share it with other people so they can help you, they can give you advice, and they can pray with you and help you through that difficult situation as well. So hopefully we've looked at Abraham this evening. We've looked at him, how he had a need to have a faith to follow. And there's things that God wants us to get rid of in our lives, things that are displeasing to him, things that come before God, and he wants us, but he's a wonderful service that he wants us actually to do as well. We discover that failure is not final. Even when we let the Lord down, he gives us second and third and fourth chances as well. But we really learn that we can, just like Abraham, we can trust God even when we don't understand it. And one of the ways we can trust God is by trusting in the promises of God. And sometimes the promises that God gives us are, I will do this, I can do this, or I will be with you. But you know, sometimes God brings a promise to us by asking us a question. And whenever we think about the answer to that question, that allows us to trust him. And that's what he did in Abraham. A short time before Isaac was born, God asked Abraham a really important question. He simply says this, is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, Abraham must have come to the conclusion, as he thought about that question, Abraham must have come to the conclusion, no, Lord, nothing is too hard for you. You know, that's the same question that God asks you and I tonight. He says this, he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? He says, look, whatever situation you're in, whatever task you'll face, whatever step of faith you need to take, he says, is anything too hard for the Lord? He says, I'm there to help you. I will bring you through that situation. I'll give you the strength and the help that you need. And we need to come to the conclusion in our life is this, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Nothing is too difficult for him. The actual real translation of that word, I think, is anything too wonderful for the Lord? We have a great God. We have a powerful God. We have a wonderful God. And whatever it is that he's asking you to do, I trust indeed that you'll have the faith to trust God, just like Abraham, that you'll have the faith to trust God and obey him and depend upon him for every step in your life. And he has a wonderful plan for every single one of you this evening.